sorry.
Yes, sir, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Corbin Johnson, sir.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing at this time, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson, can you hear me clearly?
I can.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Corbin Lynn Johnson, and my ADC number is 302482.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning to you also.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on the warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on November 19th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
I believe so. I have...
That's your notification of board hearing?
Yes, probably, sir.
Okay, thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the teleconference screen, I'll begin with the board members on the opposite side of the bench working toward me. On the far end, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Coming toward me, we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. The center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louie Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Johnson and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if that supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it, but keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
I do understand, sir.
Thank you. Just give me 1 second. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition number 3 is demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2501 West Elm, just West Elm, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about February 28, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were known, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Johnson, is this true or false?
I'm trying to remember how you told me to answer that. I did give the address to my parole officer.
Well, do you want me to read it again?
I think it's false.
Okay. Based on your statement that it's false, we're going to take an allegation report from our community corrections officer. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for a few questions for phase one, and then the board will make a motion to consider passing this hearing from phase one to phase two. Thank you, sir. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. On 11-1-17, the offender signed conditions of supervision during his initial intake upon his release from ADC custody. During this intake process, the offender was advised both verbally and per his conditions of supervision that he was not permitted to change his place of residence without prior parole officer permission. On 11-27-17, the offender was placed at V-Way Halfway House at 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. The offender's residence placement remained current at B. Ray until he was subsequently discharged on 3/14/18. The offender was discharged as the offender moved from the program on 2/28/18 and never returned. The offender never requested nor had he received his parole officer's permission to change his place of residence. The offender's whereabouts are unknown. This is in Wisconsin from supervision. Follow-up. On 3/11/2018, CCO Butcher attempted to locate the offender's whereabouts by physically checking with St. Joseph's Hospital, as the offender had an upcoming surgery at this facility. The hospital advised the subject was not in their care. On 3/11/18, CCO Butcher went to the offender's last known residence at B-Ray Halfway House. Once at B-Ray, CCO Butcher spoke with caseworker David Tang, who reported he had also been to St. Joseph's Hospital looking for the offender without success. Mr. Tang stated he called 4 to 5 other hospitals to confirm that the offender was not in their care. On 3/12/18, CCO Butcher spoke with the offender's emergency contact person on file, which is his son, Dylan Johnson. Mr. Johnson reports that he has not had contact with his father in at least a month and did not know his whereabouts or how to contact him. On 3/14/18, CCO Butcher confirmed with the Maricopa County Jail and the Maricopa Medical Examiner to confirm that they had not had no recent records of the subject being in their care. Attempts to reach the offender on his listed cell phone have been unsuccessful. This officer is unaware of any further persons to contact in regards to locating the offender's whereabouts.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Johnson. It looks like that you disappeared from community supervision about five months before the end of your sentence date. So what is false about this allegation?
What is false about that allegation? I was in Barrel's brain and spine, and I had a craniotomy due to seizures, and they had placed me, I wasn't in their hospital, they had placed me into a medical rehab center where I had to learn how to walk and talk and eat and do everything all over again to better myself. And that's where I was at during that time after that brain surgery. And then you guys spoke of a warrant that was put out on 3/14, but in May I had slipped back into a coma and went to Honor Health Hospital in Sunny Slope, Arizona, where I was in a coma there for 3 days, and then they flew me back into Barrows, where I had another surgery that I had. I was surgery with symptoms of my brain aneurysm, seizures, meningitis, tumor, and I wrote viral, but it wasn't viral, it was a growth disorder. And 6 more that I don't remember. I had 10 neurosurgeons doing my surgery, but I then died in that hospital for 40 minutes, and they brought me back and sent me back to another medical rehab where I had to learn how to walk and talk and eat and do all that all over again. So I was actually in a lot of disarray and trying to figure out what was going on with that, with the medical rehab and everything else.
Oh, okay, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass this hearing from phase 1 to phase 2, where you will have a chance to speak to the board in more detail. And I think we're getting in a little too much of that detail right now, but you will have a chance to explain your position to the board. But for now, I'm going to make a motion to vote to pass this hearing from phase 1 to phase 2. And that is based on the information that's been provided to us from warrant number 2018 W0767, as well as information from the Department of Corrections. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal way as a company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Johnson, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. And it was during this phase. It is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. So if they'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and as I stated, they'll be able to speak to the board in detail, okay, sir?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Turner?
Yes, sir. Johnson was released from ADC custody on 11-1-2017 and arrested on 11-8-2018 by Glendale PD. No new charges noted at that time. He's returned back to ADC custody on 11-8-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 4-10-2019 with 253 abscond days. Current conviction, 2014, burglary second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 2015, dangerous drug violation, 2 years and 6 months. There's no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-1. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted, no prior terms on supervision, and no disciplinary. There were other arrests, however, charges were either not filed or dismissed. It's a GB score of G1, B2.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. And Mr. Johnson, I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary, and I'll be asking you questions along the way.
Yes, sir.
It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections in November of 2017 with a pre-approved residence placement to reside at TLC Halfway House in Phoenix. This placement remained current until your discharge from TLC on November 27, 2017 for being involved in a physical confrontation with another TLC resident. On November 27, 2017, you were referred to Halfway House in Phoenix, Arizona, and placed into the 90-day modification program. Your residence at Beaver remained until December 11, 2017, when you were admitted into St. Joseph's Hospital for an emergency surgery and medical treatment. On January 3, 2018, you returned to Vibray from St. Joseph's and short-term assisted living after having a medical procedure completed. Your placement, again, remained stable at Vibray until February 28, 2018, when you left the facility and never returned. So, I recognize you shared quite a bit of information during phase one. I recognize that you did have a medical issue, but you did return to Vibray until February 28, 2018, and it says you left the facility and never returned. So under what circumstances did you leave and never return without telling anybody?
Oh, yes, sir. I went to the John C. Lincoln on Dunlap in Sunny Slope, the name is now Honor Health, where they were doing my heart procedure, and they put a device right in here under my skin. That's where I ended up in that rehab also, and I totally forgot to just tell you that during the last situation I was in there. That's what became of that right there. And I didn't end up back at the, the Vibray at that time until it was too late. I had said March 14th. And then my neurosurgeon from Barrows was telling me what kind of symptoms I had and how much time I had to go. And to be honest with you, sir, I wanted to spend a little time with my family, but then slipped into a coma and was pretty much gone until he revived me. That was the situation right there.
Well, sir, I certainly have sympathy for your health problems. Not that you're asking for that, but I mean, I have empathy that you were ill. But
yes,
there was a window of time between leaving Vibray and slipping into a coma where you had no contact with your parole officer. This is a part I'm not understanding.
That was until May, yes. That's when I slipped into a coma, and I did not have contact between your paperwork said the 14th of March, and then May, and to be honest with you and your staff there up on the board, I did spend the time with my family before I did slip into a coma, sir, and it should not have happened. I should have never done that. I should have contacted my PO and everything with MP, and I was so nervous about it that I just spent time with him. And I apologize to you and your staff, and I am asking you for mercy, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm going to take some further information from our community corrections officer, if you'll just remain on the phone. Yes, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. On 3/21/2018, the absconder reduction program letter was mailed to the following address: 2243 West Bluefield Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85023, which is the listed address for the emergency contact, which is his son that the parole officer prior to contacted.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Mr. Johnson, did you have any interface or contact with your son during that time?
No, sir. I actually gave Mr. Butcher my PO before I left out of Feverate, the address of, it was 15224 North 30th Street in Phoenix, 85032. That is the actual paper of the address I did give to him, but he never did respond to me that I could be there, I don't believe. Sir, but that is where I was at. That was when my daughter was at, and my other daughter came, and then my son that was in the special forces, he came, and my daughter from ASU came there too. That's where I was at, sir.
Okay, sir. I'm not going to get into the particulars of the programming and sanctions now. I think you've pretty much touched upon what happened. We recognize that you have a medical problem. We also recognize that you disappeared from community supervision. It sounds like, well, I'll ask you one more time. I still understand why you broke off contact with your parole officer.
Well, I was having a very hard time when I got out of the hospital and the first brain surgery because I had 1 year ago today. And the situations and the information that the doctors were giving me were pretty slim, and I wanted to spend time with my kids because I didn't think I was going to make it that long, you know what I'm saying? And I should have contacted them. You're absolutely right. I should have in that 2 months, because then I faded out into that coma and went back to girls. But you're absolutely right. I should have. There is absolutely no response or nothing I could actually tell you. There's no excuse for what I've done, sir.
Well,
that's what I can tell you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for being accountable. I will ask you, sometime after your treatment and perhaps therapy, you recovered to the point that you have the capacity to present yourself the way you are today. So when did you recover, and what caused the Glendale Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on this warrant?
This was very strange, sir. I went out at the place I was staying to check the mail, and I turned around, and there was two squad cars behind me asking me if I lived there and what my name was. That is what happened. And I didn't ever understand that. I didn't ever understand why they did that. They went inside the house and brought one of the girls out. One of the girls gave me the information. Yes, he's staying there. Plus, I had the keys in my pocket, so I don't know. And then they contacted Department of Corrections, and Department of Corrections said I had a warrant, and he brought me in. That's all I know about that, sir.
Okay, but by then, you were able to communicate the way you're communicating now, so when did you recover? When could you speak again?
When did I speak again?
Yes.
It was around, right now I'm trying to speak the best I can. Hopefully it's pretty good, but it was around, let's see, May, June, July, around August, somewhere July or August. I'll say end of July.
Okay. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Johnson, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before this board goes into discussion and votes on this case? Thank you, sir.
Well, yes, sir. Can I speak freely now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just want to thank you guys for listening to what I had to say and let you know that I have been totally honest with you on everything that happened, and I apologize and hope you will give me some mercy, because I do have a lot of other medical appointments out there and things that are going on with my meningitis and my tumor that need to be fixed. So I was asking for some mercy to be let out, and so I can go back through my medical, and plus my heart stuff needs to also be fixed. And thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I have one last question, though. Are you receiving any treatment inside the Department of Corrections? And be very careful about how you answer this, because if you're not telling us the truth, we're going to be able to cross-check that. Are you receiving any treatment right now?
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because they are trying to give me treatment in here, but they have a PA, and he's not qualified to understand what's going on. And when they... I signed the letter to get those surgery reports to them, and there were over 200 pages and showed the 10 doctors that were saving me and doing surgery on me. Yes, they do know everything that's going on, but they're not qualified to, I don't know if you can see this, I'm going to put up, this is for yesterday. Can you guys see that?
Well, I can see that you have some sort of summary.
Yeah.
Is it a...
Everything... These are criminals that tell you what you're doing every day, and this is medical. They gave me a job as groundskeeper and medical. This is the kind of stuff I go through every day, which goes through my blood and my head, and I got a lot of metal in my head, and a lot of pain, and my seizure medication they have off, and they're not pulling the right medications out of my surgery files, because I don't understand the medical qualifications for that, but they... You guys can proper reference all of that, and I have not lied to you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir, I will be quiet.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly feel for Mr. Johnson. It sounds like he has quite a list of health problems that he's contending with. And I do wish him the best in whatever interim treatment he's receiving inside the Department of Corrections. But I'll be direct, and that is that regardless of the timeline of when he was in and out of treatment and perhaps some very serious junctures regarding his ability to communicate, there were certainly wide open spaces for him to notify his parole officer and to perhaps negotiate some sort of arrangement regarding his medical treatment, but there was a long period in which he did not make contact with his parole officer. He made his own decision, and somewhere along the way he recovered and did not make contact. As a matter of fact, he did not return to the Department of Corrections until he was arrested by the Glendale Police Department, and I'm just not seeing him as a suitable candidate for returning him to community supervision. But that's where I'll begin the discussion.
I agree.
Therefore, I'm going to go and make a motion, and that is, based on the information provided to this board in the road number 2018W0767, our discussion with Mr. Johnson, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Johnson was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapse or was about to lapse in a criminal arrest company, inasmuch that he absconded for 253 days in which we could not monitor his activity in the community, so we have no idea. We recognize that he provided quite a bit of information about his treatment, and I recognize he provided it in good faith, but we cannot account for what his activity was in the community, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Johnson, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released and finished with your prison sentence on approximately April 10, 2019. That's what we have provided from the Department of Corrections. So we encourage you to take advantage of these last months, and thank God it's months and not years, to put together a plan for your return to the community. I have confidence that you'll receive medical care inside the Department of Corrections, and you will again be released in just a matter of months. We encourage you to stay the course in terms of receiving treatment and to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. I'm glad to hear that you have family support out there, so we wish you a productive return. No further discussion may take place. This hearing is concluded, and Mr. Johnson, we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.